All right, thank you for being here tonight. I hope you like the food, and thank you for coming and being a part of the service. A couple things. I think tomorrow night is Grace and Foundations, and they will not be staying late, okay? Those days are over. In the early days, the singles used to come and stay at my house till 2 in the morning. We don't do that anymore, okay? 1:30, that's our time limit. I think last week, about 10:30, 11 o'clock, most of them were gone. The week before, about 9:30 or 10 o'clock. So Brother Jim's class has till 8, and we'll be all right there. Don't really like them. Youth conference is next week, so let's be ready and ready to go with that. Make sure all of our teenagers are signed up, and let's make sure, Brother Ross wanted me to tell you this, make sure you pay, okay? We don't want you signed up. You're not signed up until the cash is in the coffer there. So let's make sure we pay for that, and we're going to have a great time. Bus captains, I encourage you to get all your teenagers here off your bus route. And, of course, the church family is welcome to come to all of them, but especially the evening services. I know a lot of you work and so forth, but I encourage you. We don't do revival meetings in our church per se. A lot of churches do revival meetings where they'll either go from Sunday to Friday or Sunday to Sunday, Sunday to Wednesday. We don't do that. I purposely don't try to load up our schedule. I try to make sure that that our schedule is good and it's not overbearing for the church family. And but youth conference is our revival. So I encourage you adults to be here. I think we're going to have one of our best youth conferences ever. I think we have more churches signed up. It may be the most we've ever had signed up. And I don't know about that, but it seems like we have a good group. And worst case scenario, if there's more here than we expected, we might have to get some volunteer PA helpers, like we did on Friend Day, to be up by the PA booth. I don't want to say that publicly, to help us out up there. Keep an eye on those guys. Gonna be a great time. I hope you're praying about that, and make sure your young person gets here for sure. We're in our discipleship book, and we're looking at the chapter 5, Battle Ready. People talk a lot about peace, right? That's the dream of this world. Let's have peace. Conflicts between nations are just, I hate to say the word natural, I guess. It's just normal. This world will never say peace. Everybody wants peace, but really it's just out of reach. I saw a statistic. In the last 3,400 years, there's only been 286 of those years that there was not a war going on somewhere in the world. Now think about that. That's just the depravity of man. And so one of the reasons it's hard to have peace is because this is something our liberal friends don't understand. To have peace, you need both sides to want peace. Okay? And what they don't understand, that the best way to have peace is have the bigger weapons. That keeps people, you're not going to pick a fight on a guy 4 times your size, all right? You're not going to do that. But that has nothing to do with the message. That's just a free one right there. So it takes two sides. And it just is not going to happen. Our world, that idiot song, Give Peace a Chance. Kind of hard to give peace a chance when someone's hitting you upside the head, How about the one coexist? And it's all the different religions. You can't coexist if you believe completely different things. It's just not possible. Now, I'm not for war, but I think you need to always be ready for war. And now I'll bring it into the spiritual realm. We should desire to live peaceably with everyone. The Bible tells us that. But we have one enemy we'll never be able to have peace with. That is Satan. He is the enemy of God. And he is the enemy of everything that is right, that is holy, and that is really pure. That's a battle that we cannot avoid. But it is a battle we should absolutely win. Our society believes as long as you pacify people, you'll be okay. Disarmament. That's idiotic. Okay. There's a reason there hasn't been nuclear weapons used since the one time in World War II. People know that if you have a nuclear weapon, you don't want that used on you. But we think that by appeasing, you can't appease Satan. You understand that? He's at war. Well, I don't like to battle. I just don't like, I get it. But sometimes you have to fight. And sometimes you have to fight Satan. In fact, all the time you have to fight Satan. Do you know the moment you got saved, a lot of good things happened, right? You got a home in heaven. You were born into God's eternal family. You now have the ability to have God's blessing on your life. But you also acquired a spiritual enemy, Satan. You say Satan wasn't after me before I got saved? No, he was after you to keep you from getting saved. But as long as you were in his fold, he really doesn't need to fight you too much. But now that you're saved, you're in God's family, you're on God's side, now he is your mortal enemy. You ever hear people debate about World War II? Well, you know, America knew that Japan was going to bomb Pearl Harbor, and they let it happen because they were looking for an excuse to war and all that. Look, I don't know about that. It sounds like a conspiracy theory to me. But I do know this. Regardless of what people thought about war back then, once they attacked us, the decision was made. We had an enemy. They declared war on us first. And so we declared war back. That's just how it is. We have a spiritual enemy. And so battle is inevitable. So what should we do? Be battle ready. You have to be ready for the war. It's coming your way. Just as a soldier would not go to war without a proper uniform, without proper training, a Christian should not live their life without a proper spiritual uniform and proper spiritual weapons. God has given us all that we need. Thankfully, those are provided for us in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at this. Many of you have heard of it before, right? The armor of God. So let's answer a few questions here to get started. First question is, what do we need to understand about the armor? Before we look at the individual pieces, let's look at what God says about the importance of armor. I mean, it's one thing to be willing to go to war. It's another thing to go to war unprepared. I want a weapon. I want a uniform. I want protection. And I don't just want any protection. I don't just want any uniform. And I don't just want any weapon. I want the best. Look, if you have a gun that's a certain size, I want a gun double that size. If you have an airplane that goes that fast, I want an airplane that's bigger and goes twice as fast. Do you understand that? I want to give myself a chance to win. God has given us the tools to win. And so we need to understand them. Remember, a soldier is only good as his weapons and his protection. And so there are some key lessons we need to grasp about the armor before we actually look at it. We need to fully comprehend why we need it and how it relates to the battle with our enemy. So let's go over a few things if you're there with us in chapter 5. By the way, we've been going over this for a while. Some of you, if you don't have the book, we have it. You can get one. First of all, I want you to see that it helps us to stay strong in the Lord. It helps us to stay strong in the Lord. Once we're saved, we will desire to grow in our faith. We should. That should be natural. Growth in our faith will cause us to gain strength in our faith. Someone signs up for any aspect of the military, they don't just say, okay, you're being deployed. That would be a disaster. They go to basic training. They're put through exercises. They're put through training. Training, yes, to give them skills, wisdom, and knowledge, but also to give them strength to be ready for the battle. Because if they're weak, they're not going to be able to win the war. And so it helps us to stay strong in our faith. Strength is required. That is vital because God commands us to grow strong in our Lord. Our strength is not determined by what we do. It comes from spiritual growth and by the closeness of our relationship with God. It comes from who we believe in. You have to understand, yeah, we're supposed to fight. Yeah, we're supposed to be ready. But we need to do it in God's strength. And God's strength comes as we, after we're saved, develop a relationship with Him. That's why so many Christians just struggle to live for him, to be honest with you. You're trying to do it on your own. And the fact of the matter is, you can't. You need God's strength to help you to be able to do the things you need to do. Now, we can take the fatalistic approach and go to the other side. Well, I don't have to do anything. And there are some in Christianity that, you know, I just give it to the Lord and I don't do anything. That's ignorant too. You have to put the effort in. But let me just say this. You put the effort in, God gives you the strength. You have to show up for the battle. You have to be ready for the battle. And God will give you the strength to get through the battle and to win the battle. You have to be strong in the Lord. Ephesians 6:10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. He says that now, and then he's going to start to tell us what's going on. The problem is this. We don't wait until a battle has broken out to start preparing for a fight. That wouldn't be very bright. That's like once a month, some of the guys here coming over to my house will watch the fights once a month at my house. You say, well, that's brutal. You shouldn't watch it. Well, that's why I haven't invited you. But listen, those guys don't, when they show up for that fight, they don't show up and like, I got this fight. I'm going to train in the morning of the fight. That's ignorant, okay? And that's a defeat. They start training months. They have to be ready for that one night. They know that night is coming, and so they prepare ahead of time. Our relationship with God helps us with that. And it's not just a blessing and an encouragement. It is really a preparation to face everything we're going to face in this life. Now, look, being a Christian and living for God, a lot of great things. But you know, we do face some tough things. And we talked about temptation. You go through all the different things. You're going to face those things. And so the best thing to do is be ready for that ahead of time. Those who do spend time with God, they're not going to be prepared. It's like what Joe Frazier said. And I'll give you in a nutshell. He said, look, I don't have to do any of the training. I don't have to do any of that for any fight I'm in. And he goes, and no one will ever know about it. He says, when I step into that ring and those bright lights and all those people watching me, everything I've done the last 6 months is going to be perfectly known by everybody. It's going to show. So sometimes we struggle in our faith and we struggle in our battles simply because we don't have the habit of being strong in the Lord. We don't have the discipline of spending time with God. Problems are just a fact of life. If I asked in here, who never has had a problem? The only people that would raise their hand are people that are dumb. Not dumb, I shouldn't say that. Are a void of mental capacity. That don't get it. Because we all have problems, right? We all have problems. And how are we going to get through those? I think we should prepare now. I don't want to wait until there's a battle and then it's like, or I'm going through something like, Lord, let me open the Bible and find out what's going on. I want to know ahead of time. I would rather when I'm going through a problem, God would say, remember this verse? Remember this truth? I would rather already be in the habit of spending time with God before I go into a problem so that it's not something new, right? Like, you know, there's an answer in here somewhere. You know, the guy that was looking at his Bible, and he said, Lord, I need a verse. He goes, Lord, share a verse. And he opened it up, and it said, and Judas went and hanged himself. He's like, no, that's not the verse I want. Lord, let me find another one. And he opened it up again. It goes, go and do thou likewise. He said, no, Lord, one more time. Something's wrong here. And he opened it up, and he got a verse that said, what thou doest, do quickly. That's how most of us are. There's got to be something in here. Look, you can't YouTube spirituality, okay? Remember the car my son had, my charger. I bought the charger, and I was out on Saturday visiting. I needed gas, and I pulled and I'm like, how do you open up the gas tank? I couldn't figure it out, you know, and I was, you know, I'm like, people are there, and I didn't want to look like an idiot, not that I ever could. So I'm like, you know, I just... YouTube, right? How do you open the gas? Sure enough, on YouTube. Here's how you open the... I'm like, that's what that button hanging out down there is for. Okay? We don't want to do that. We want to know what's going on ahead of time. We want to be prepared ahead of time. Understand this. We can fake people out in our spirituality. But when you're facing spiritual battles, when you're facing trials, when you're facing temptations, the real you is going to come out. And so what's the admonition? Let's work on that strength now. Let's build up our strength now. Next, we still need God's power. Okay? If we're going to go to war, the power that we have must come from God. Now look, I just talked about being prepared, right? We prepare by doing the things that we're supposed to do. But once we've done that, we put ourselves in the right place, the power to get through ultimately is going to come from God, not ourselves. Be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6:10 again. And in the power of what? His might. His might. It's all about him. You know, we do everything we can. And we know, and understand what I'm saying here, we know that we don't have to be defeated by Satan. We know we don't have to lose the spiritual battles. Why? We're stronger. But are we stronger? No, it's God that works in us. We know that the one who's attached to us, the one in whose family we were born into, he is stronger than Satan, and we're fighting in his power, therefore, we can win. Now, if we're not fighting the battle in God's power, then what are we fighting in? What are we trying to live a godly life? By the way, even just a battle, it's just a day-to-day. When we think of battle, sometimes all we think of is the big things, right? But what about just the every day just living for God, right? Everywhere you go. What about the small things? You know, someone cuts in front of you at the grocery store. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think, praise God for them. I'm like, I'm going to cut in front of them. I'm like, is that some light here or something like that? It's like, okay. You know, what about you're out somewhere and you go someplace and someone's rude to you? Come on, I don't think they're having a bad day. I should bless the brother. I'm thinking, keep your problems to yourself. Okay? Just reacting as a Christian. Say, do you always do the right thing? In the power of his might. Probably not. I get in the flesh. Don't you get in the flesh? See, when we're not in the power of the Spirit, those small battles, okay, we're going to lose those. But we're trying to do things for God in our own power. Devoid of God. And you know what happens? Nothing good. These verses are not in the book. Romans chapter 7, verse 18 and 19. Romans just talks about the flesh. Paul, and you can sense Paul's frustration if you read the whole chapter. He goes, for I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Remember, we talked about that on Sunday afternoon, right? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He says, I have the will. There is nothing good that dwells in me, in my flesh, but I want to do the right thing. To will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. You know, it's. Look, we're gonna. A youth conference is gonna come on Monday, and I hope you're here. It's gonna be great for all of us. But there's gonna be decisions made, and it's easy to make a decision when this place is full. You got R2-D2 up here preaching. I don't know what's going on with that. And they're excited, and the preaching gets to them, and they make the decision, and they're willing, and then they're going home. And it's going to hit them. It's not just willing. I got to follow through. And if we're not willing to get out of the flesh and spend time with God and let the Spirit direct our life, we're not going to make it. We just soothed our conscience with a good thought. Everything boils down to work, doesn't it? I want to do this, and I got all these plans. Okay, you got to follow through on them. We can't trust our flesh. Paul said in verse 19, and you can read the whole chapter. When I read that whole chapter, I'm like, amen. I know what you're talking about, Paul. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Come on, you know Don't look at me like you got your halos on. You went to that restaurant and the waitress was rude to you and you were rude right back. Why? Flesh. And you felt like, nah, that's not the way I should have reacted. You know, we want to do the right thing. But you know what the first, someone said this, I don't even know if it's in the Bible, but it sounds good. They said, if you want to do what's right, don't do the first thing that comes to your mind in a situation like that. Because usually the flesh speaks up first. And it's like, you know, no. But it's the flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 4 to 8. He says, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. In other words, if the flesh is in control of our life, naturally our mind is going to be immersed in those things. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And again, let me just say this. You're never going to completely get out of the flesh. But he doesn't have to take control. If you are feeding the Spirit will be stronger and the flesh can be rebuked. For they that after the flesh, verse 6, for to be carnally, really fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I'll never forget, I was working during the summer when I was in Bible college. I would occasionally work two jobs to get some extra money to prepare for the school year. And I was in the second job I would work as a security job. All you had to do on security is just stay awake. And we had a college teacher that was there, and he wanted a little extra, so he was working the 2 weeks there with us. And I remember he was walking back and forth trying to memorize his scripture. And he's talking to himself. And I remember he said, to be carnally minded is death. And he's like, I don't want that. That doesn't sound good. He's talking to himself. I'm like, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. He goes, yeah, I want that. So do we, right? And that's how it should be. But we got to fight the flesh. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. In other words, it's opposite. It's an enemy of God in a sense. For it is not subject to the law of God. You know, when we're in the flesh could care less what God says. I'm just telling you. And all of us at some time in our life have lashed out or did something. It's like afterwards we're like, that's not right. I know, but in the moment the flesh didn't care. In the moment, the flesh is like, this seems like a really good idea. So the flesh is there. For it is not subject to the law, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's heavy. That's really heavy. The Bible doesn't say a lot of good things about the flesh. And I don't like to get up and publicly say I disagree with something somebody said, but I remember I heard a guy preaching one time, and he said, he goes, you know, we preach too much about serving in the flesh. At least you're serving. And I'm like, reject that one. I'm like, I have a Bible. I mean, I'm glad, you know. If you didn't have your coffee and you're driving the bus in the flesh, I guess I'd be okay with that, but I prefer that you drink your coffee and be spiritual. And I'll know if you're in the flesh because the bus kids are going to hear it. Okay? But it's like, no, I don't want to be in the flesh. And I'm not perfect. But I am so close to not being perfect. But you know what? I want to fight it. And the more we allow the Spirit of God to work in our life, the better we'll be at it, the less it'll rear its ugly head. If we're trying to fight a spiritual battle in the flesh without any spiritual power, it's not going to work. I heard someone give an illustration. They said it's like you can have a gun, and it is like pristine. The barrel is as straight as can be. Just like we have the right doctrinal beliefs, we know what the right things are in the scripture. And yet if we don't have God's Spirit, we can believe all those things. And you can have that beautiful gun with a straight barrel, but it's got no bullets in it. You can believe the right things and still do the wrong things. Because that's just head knowledge. And if all you have is head knowledge, the flesh is all right with that. You don't just need to know what the right things are, you need to know the right person. And that's God. Do you understand that? I say, this is not a science book. We don't read the book so we can say, you know, this person was married to that person. Lot's wife looked back and was turned into salt. That's a fact. By the way, someone told me, you know why Lot's wife was turned into salt? Her husband said, hey, what's that? She looked. Okay. That's a fact. Okay? I know there are 60. Thank you for that. There are, what was the other one? Ryan, you told, someone told me one. It's probably offensive, so I won't say it. It's not a science book. It's a book of God's truth to be lived. It's a book of God's truth that tells us how we can do what we are supposed to do and we can stay connected with God. That's what it is. And if all you do is you can memorize, and I'm all for it, by the way, you can memorize verses, but if you're not seeking to understand what those verses say, if you're not committed to doing what those verses say, if I tell my, you know, if I tell one of the kids, take the trash out, got it, and then they don't take the trash out, I'm like, hey, did you hear me when I said take the trash out? Yeah, you said at exactly 11:55, take the trash out. Not any trash, the trash. And you told me where you wanted the trash, out. I can say it backwards, out, trash the take. I can say it in Spanish. Take a rid of the basura. Okay. I can't say it in Tagalog, sorry. And yet the trash sits there. You know, I can give you all four Greek words for it. I don't care. I don't care if you know it in Swahili. Take the trash out. You with me? Well, I know the scripture. I know. Are you allowing God to use it in your life so that you do it? That's what we need. We have to, and we can't just go in the flesh. Now, I'll be done in a second, but let me say this. And there are times when you're not feeling it. How many of you have ever, I'm not feeling it today, right? Say, oh yeah, no, every time the alarm goes off on Sunday, I jump up and say, praise God, it's church day. Sometimes I say, is today Sunday? I have to go to church, I don't want to go to church, but you're the pastor. I'll text Brother Chim. He can preach. You know, look, it's okay. If you're not feeling it, do what you're supposed to do anyhow. Yeah. I don't feel like reading my Bible today, so it won't do me any good. Read it anyhow. But let me just say this. If you feel like that about Christianity all the time, it's because you are trying to do it in the flesh. You don't have God's Spirit helping you. And so let's make sure that we're doing what we're doing because we're supposed to, and we're allowing God to work through us because we're preparing for that time when we're going to do battle. And by the way, reading your Bible in the morning, reading your Bible every day, that's a battle. Satan don't want that, right? All these little things, and so let's make sure we do that, and we have to end right there. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for loving us, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that you let us know a lot about our enemy. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us as we go through this lesson the next few weeks to understand, have a better understanding of our enemy. But more important than that, not that we understand him so much that we don't understand what it takes for us to be able to have your power to defeat him. Please work in our lives. Help us rely on you every day. And Lord, those times when we're not feeling it, I pray, Lord, we do what we're supposed to do, but we would still have our relationship with you. Bless us now as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray.